Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
NFL Combine. Joe DeLeon, Ryan Roberts with me here in Indianapolis. Not back on the radio row, but we're still taping in Indy. Talking about day three of the NFL Combine here for the first team and the Believe Network. We had the wide receivers, the running backs, we had the quarterbacks, we had a record-breaking run. We're going to get to that in just a second. Let's start with the running backs, Ryan.
We're not going to start with the record.
No, we're not going to start. Okay. We're going with the order of the way that things happened.
All right.
Mr. Impatient over here.
Yes, okay.
I have to bring up Trey Benson, who's a guy that I've been pounding the table for since this past summer. He's somebody who I've said I could comfortably take early in the second round because I think that is an every down player. He's so smooth in and out of his cuts. He ends up having this today in his performance, 6 foot, 216 pounds, which is a little heavier than I was expecting.
Yeah.
4.39, 1.52 on the 10-yard split, 33.5-inch vert, and then 10.2 on the broad. This is a very explosive football player who I think I kind of knew coming into this injury history, which now we've proven the injuries haven't really held him back.
Yep.
But I feel very confident when I have said in the past that Trey Benson is RB1.
Florida State usage was a little weird for Trey Benson. I thought they were going to ride him a little bit more this year. I mean, he almost had identical stats from 2022 to 2023, which was interesting. But he's just kind of a perfect combination of power, physicality, and he has the breakaway speed. I think I compared his running style, not necessarily the athlete, but the running style to Leonard Fournette before. I think that was a comp that I made as far as just his gait and how he runs the football potentially because he's a little bit of a short stepper. But he opened his strides in the 40 without a doubt. I thought he was going to be more a high 4.4, 4.5 flat type of dude, but 4.39 is obviously a tremendous time. You see the breakaway speed at times on film. He is probably the easiest bet to be running back one. I mean, I loved Raheem Rocket Sanders, obviously, in this past offseason, but he had a injury-plagued year, did not come out, did not declare for the 2024 NFL draft, and I think that Trey Benson obviously took a big step to solidifying himself potentially at the top of the class.
Now, Jalen Wright, the Tennessee running back, could maybe rival him, depending on team that's going to take him.
Sure.
Could be what they're looking for is something a little bit different, which Jalen Wright, a little more of a spark plug on the smaller side, space killer, 5'10.5", 210 pounds, which is a lot heavier than I thought he was going to be.
Well, he was listed at 210, though. He was listed at 210.
Yeah. My apologies. 4.38 is what he ends up running. 38-inch vertical, 11.2 on the broad, which is just a gaudy number. But Jalen Wright's not somebody who I've gotten super close eyes on because I've deliberately avoided watching running back tape because I know that it's just not worth talking about. But Jalen Wright is somebody who I'm excited to dive into after the combine because I think that there's a really realistically high ceiling for a guy like that that could be productive in the right scheme.
I have a really important question for you.
No.
Who picked him in the RAS challenge?
Okay, we already went through who had who already, and you had a bunch of guys who didn't test. Joe Milton didn't run his 40, so you can.
I think he's that. What am I eating?
He doesn't have an RAS score. Oh, okay.
Well, we'll see if he.
So we're going with the Spencer Rattler numbers. It sounds like
That's fine with me. Jalen Wright. When you watch his film, they had a two-headed running back duo over the last couple years. Jalen Wright and then Jabari Small. Jabari Small was more of the physical type of downhill runner. Jalen Wright was the super explosive dude, and I know that he was also a great track athlete coming out of high school. So that's the reason I picked him, is I knew that he had that track background. Usually that translates to getting out of the blocks and that type of stuff, right? So 4.38 was actually what I predicted. I predicted potentially high 4.3. 11.2 broad is fantastic, though. I mean, the explosive numbers, he's not just straight line fast. He also has that short area explosiveness to create a lot of momentum early on in runs. So he might not be an every down back. He might not have the power profile to develop into a high level RB1 on the next level. But at worst, we're talking about a guy that's going to be a very, very big asset in a committee approach.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with Bucky Irving's testing, which I don't want to spend too much diving in on, but there's some similarities in terms of usage. So the argument now could be made that a guy like Jalen Wright might move up just a little bit on him because there was a pretty pretty wide gap in the testing numbers. Talking about the wide receivers, though, I mean, we have to bring up the fact that Xavier Worthy at 5'11".
We should have opened the show with this, but it's fine.
Okay,
man.
Well,
it's
I control
fine.
Editorial. Okay. 5'11", 165 pounds. We saw a record-tying performance. We're still
unofficial time.
Yeah, unofficial time. There's a potential that this changes a little bit, but he has a 4.22 as his unofficial 40-yard dash. I was saying as we were watching it, I want to see this guy run it again, because if you're 165 pounds and you're that light, you might as well go out there and say, all right, I'm going to take a crack. If I'm that close to the record, I'm going to take a crack at this thing and see if maybe, you know, I catch a little wind in the indoor stadium. But if I catch it, you know, a little bit of extra juice and I can get over something like that, it might help him get across. But we didn't even talk about this. We didn't even notice, you know, 41-inch vert and then a 10-foot, 11-inch broad. He is super explosive, but it's a really weird conversation with him because he's 165 pounds, which is historically, I mean, that is a rarity. There are guys that are not that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're Devontae Smith, where you overcome the size by still playing through contact and having good hands, which he does not do a very good job of.
Yeah. Well, I think the wisest thing he did, because he was on the short list as far as who was going to be the fastest kid in Indianapolis. I mean, literally before he ran, we were like, that kid's going to roll, right? Like 4.3 low at worst. I mean, 4.3. Yeah. 4.3 low at worst, maybe 4.2 high. See what he does. Obviously, I wasn't predicting him to break a record, but he did that potentially here in Indianapolis. And the crazy part is he talked about this afterwards. Didn't even have a great start on either one, really. Like, it was more the, the 10 to 40, 20 to 40, like that acceleration is absolute bananas. And I think he made a wise decision because he did not do anything else afterwards. And we know that the main hang up with Xavier Worthy is hands are very, very inconsistent. So didn't want to dull the day on potentially a record-breaking performance.
He could have gone out there in the gauntlet specifically, which is important but not important. I think that if you really struggle in that or you really look smooth, that's where it's important. If you're down the middle, it's like, okay, you know, you accomplished it. You just did the drill. It's good to know. But if he went out there and dropped a ton of balls because he was all excited about running the 40 time, that would have been a real problem for him. And as I mentioned, there are things that we have to talk about with him, body control. We got to talk about his hands and his consistency. So I agree with you. It might be probably a strong move to not do that stuff. Where do you think he ends up going, though? I think that day two, day two is realistic. If he snuck in back end of the first round, I would not be surprised. If a team like the Chiefs, like guys like that, might take that shot.
Make sure you check out BetOnline for all of your sports betting needs. For anything that I do betting related, I go on over to betonline.ag and I use promo code BELIEVE50. BetOnline has all of the latest updated odds for the NFL and college football seasons. Anything you need, whether it's futures, live in-game betting, no matter what, your football betting needs are met at BetOnline. And again, make sure you use that promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
This is always the balance with this conversation, because I think sometimes we overreact to how guys test and to push them up boards a little bit. We did with Adebuare from last year. Remember Northwestern? Not us specifically, but people started mocking him in the first round. He ends up going in like the fourth round because he was a fourth round player who just happens to be a great tester, right? I will say this is before the event, I probably would have predicted Xavier Worthy to go somewhere in the second round because you can't teach speed. And although his ball skills are inconsistent, his hands are not great, the NFL has proven time and time again that they're going to take gambles on speed always, right? So I think he's a firm second-round player. Could he get into the late first round? It's possible. It really depends on when that run on receivers starts in the first round. And those back-end teams like the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, do they still feel like they can get the most out of his athleticism overall?
Now, his teammate, Adonai Mitchell, obviously from Texas, formerly Georgia. He ends up coming in at 6'2", 205 pounds, 32 3/4 8-inch arms. He runs a 4.34 as a taller framed receiver, 39.5-inch vertical, 11.4 on the broad, which is just awesome explosive. This numbers. This is a guy that we know that can get up there, can jump, and he can take the ball out of the air. We've talked about how he's a bit of a odd evaluation sometimes, because like, you know that this is a tremendous athlete, but sometimes it just doesn't always click.
Right.
It doesn't always come together the way that you want it to.
Yeah.
But we see how explosive he is. And then we know just from watching him play, he is a pretty smooth mover, especially with the ball in his hands. And he showed that during the drills.
I would say this about A.D. Mitchell. He is, and we've talked about this a ton already, like I expected him to be a great tester because when you watch his film, it's easy to see, you know, in basically every football game, you see a flash of that he's 6'2 plus, that he can run for days, that he's explosive, and he's very springy as an athlete too. Like we've seen him win above the rim. My issues with him, just to kind of, you know, take a step back for a second, is game-to-game consistency was not there. And I think, too, is this was a more of a Texas disservice, is that they didn't have a expansive route tree for him. Like, he was a vertically-oriented player, and that's all he was asked to do. So if we're going to project him as a first-round pick, I would like to see kind of a more well-balanced player, a guy that's been asked to do more things, and a guy that can project to do more things on the next level. But I still like him as a departmentalized player. And you saw today that at over 6'2", over 200 pounds, running in the 4.3s, having an 11-foot broad, it's incredible potential. Now it's about actualizing it into game-to-game production because he is not a finished product, and he's not nearly a finished product compared to some guys in this class.
Another guy who's not a finished product, but yes, we're in love with the tools, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, 6'3", 209, 32 3/4 inch arms.
Yep.
I don't know why those fractions always trip me up. 4.34 in the 40. 38 and a half inch vert, and then 10.6 on the broad. I don't know why I thought the jumps were going to be crazier.
That's still good. Yeah.
Those are still good numbers.
Yep.
Linearly, we know he's a great athlete. I really do believe at his size that this is a guy who makes a ton of sense as a top 15 pick. I really think a run could start early on receiver and a certain team that maybe falls in love with him, maybe even trades up to go get a guy like this. He is still putting it together. He is still not a super experienced player because this was his first full year as a
starter,
impact starter. So
right.
Brian Thomas Jr. might have the highest ceiling of any of these guys in this class.
You know, what's funny is we're doing A.D. Mitchell and then him back to back. They're kind of similar players from a style perspective. I think the difference is that although Brian Thomas Jr. still has to expand his route tree and be able to be a more complete receiver, he's been much more productive at this point. I mean, he just had over 1,000 yards. Trivia question. Who led college football in touchdown receptions this year?
It was Brian Thomas Jr.
17 touchdowns this past season for the LSU Tigers. So I think that the production that you've seen and the fact that he is not at his ceiling even close, that gives you like the upside of if you can take that up a notch. We're talking about not a number one receiver on the next level. We're talking about a special player. Like he could be one of the better receivers in the NFL if it all clicks.
Quarterback discussion sucks.
Let's do it.
It sucks because none of these guys tested. Sam Hartman, I mean, he was the greatest tester of the four guys who tested. No, I'm obviously joking. Keaton Slovis, though, I mean.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he looked great. No, in all seriousness, I want to bring this up. Most of the throwing that we got to see, we didn't see Drake May. We didn't see Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
We did not see Caleb Williams.
Yes.
It's disappointing, though. I would have loved to have seen how they would have thrown. And I would argue, actually, with how bad some of these guys have thrown, they would have shined, kind of like C.J. Stroud last year where he goes out there and he looks so smooth compared to everybody else that it makes him look even smoother as a passer. Joe Milton, I'm not doing the bit, man.
What's the bit?
I mean, I saw people tweet about saying like Joe Milton's having a great day. He threw like three really good deep balls and then he was so errant and erratic. I was jokingly saying to you, I need to see Joe Milton completely miss and knock somebody the hell out in the stands with one of his throws because that would have been hilarious. But J.J. McCarthy is the one who stands out the most.
Solid day, yep.
I wouldn't say solid. I think that he threw the way that I expected, where certain throws he makes look easy, and he shows pace. He shows the arm that he has.
Sure.
He can deliver the ball in tight windows, but where I'm really hung up on is the deep ball that he threw
because
never did it at Michigan. They barely threw deep routes and he was getting the distance, but the placement, the timing just wasn't there.
He has tools. There's no doubt about that. Right. It's just, I think the first deep ball that he threw out of bounds on air, which is like, I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Yeah. Like he threw one out of bounds. The next one he airmailed. I think the third one was in reachable distance, but like it was still also overthrown a little bit. Like it's just inconsistent right now. It really is. Now you see the pace he has on the football. He hit 61 miles per hour on the gun as well. So he has all the requisite arm strength and just overall football, overall throwing talent, but he is not anywhere near the top 10 to 15 player that they're trying, that some people are trying to act like he is. He's a developmental quarterback. He's still young. I would be okay with the team taking him and being super patient with him. The problem is that you draft him too high, then you are not able to be as patient as possible.
Yeah, I think that kind of really sums up my thoughts, as you just said a second ago. He has the tools.
Yeah,
he is one of those guys who is gifted, and he is able to do a lot of – he's able to make a lot of throws that are difficult for a good number of NFL quarterbacks or considerable draftable prospects. But he also, at the same time – makes a lot of easy things look hard. And that's why I'm a little cautious. And again, that deep ball thing, I know that's not an easy thing, but it's something that he has the traits to do, but he's making it harder than it needs to be.
I mean, but the other side of it is it should be an easy thing to do on air though, right? Like, we're not even talking about against defenders. Yeah. Like the good ones make all the requisite throws. The great ones make all the requisite throws plus a little bit more, right? Like, that's the differentiator, is that you have to, as an NFL quarterback, whether you're a backup or you're a starter, you have to make the easy things easy all the time. And then the great ones are able to make difficult things look easy. Like, that's where Patrick Mahomes comes into the conversation. So early on, it's going to be about, can we be patient with a guy like him?
Xavier Worthy, 4-2-1. So he broke the record. Wow.
Holy smokes.
Looked over.
He had over 24 miles an hour as well.
He broke the record. That is unbelievable.
Actually, unbelievable, because he didn't have a great start. I mean, he legitimately probably could be a 4-2 flat or sub-4-2 guy.
4-1-9, man.
Yeah.
That is
– yep.
I mean, we talked about him. We talked about him. But that is absolutely unbelievable that he ends up running a time that fast. Before we close out, thumbs up or thumbs down on Michael Penix, Keegan? Middle? Okay, that sounds about right for Michael Penix. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me, as always, is my good friend and NFL draft analyst, Ryan Roberts. This was The First Team on the Believe Network. Make sure you check out our rest of our shows and also all of the great coverage on the Believe Network for your team's NFL draft analysis.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.